can open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to be in verses 11 through 18. We are going to tie a bow and end our Galatians series after our 11-week study through the book of Galatians. So I hope it's been beneficial, and I hope you've enjoyed the study. But we've learned why knowing salvation and why understanding how we are saved is so important. Because we can be drawn away, we can be guided away, we can be misled easily if we are not founded by what the basis of our salvation is. And so the gospel doesn't only save us, but what we've learned is the gospel also sanctifies us. It's our guide. It's how we grow as a Christian. And today we're going to learn what do we take pride in? What do we boast in? Growing up in Alabama, football is king. And I've mentioned that a lot of times in my sermon because it definitely is that. And so 365 days a year, you will hear college football talk. There's no seasons other than college football season. It's college football season, recruiting season, spring training, and summer workouts. Those are the four seasons in Alabama. And so there's no other season. There's not a basketball season. There's a little bit of a baseball season. But those are the four seasons. And all those four seasons, if you turn on sports talk radio, they will be talking about either the past football season or the upcoming football season. Well, in the year 2000, Alabama was picked to be they were preseason number five. They were picked to maybe run out of the national championship, maybe even and contend for an SEC championship. And so that year started off, and the hopes were high. And they ended the year 3-8. It ended up being a bad season. I remember talking to a lot of my friends who were Alabama friends during that time, and it was about halfway through the season, and kind of they had lost like their fifth game out of seven, and all hope was kind of lost for the season. I just was talking to them, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing from them. They were talking about how great their program was. They were talking about how awesome they were, how they're still top to, that doesn't matter what their record is, they're still the best program and the best team in the nation. And I'm sitting there thinking, you guys just lost to Central Florida. Your fullback was so mad after that loss that he pinned a Central Florida guy down and started punching him. You know, like, I'm an Auburn fan. I know what a dumpster fire looks like, and you guys are an absolute dumpster fire right now. Like, you just need to embrace it and stop bragging about your program. But in the state of Alabama, both fan bases can be very delusional at times, okay? But you know what people take their pride in because they boast about it. They boast about what they're proud of. They boast about their football team and who they are in their football team. Well, Paul gives us one thing that we should boast about in our life. And he talks about boasting only in the cross of Christ. You see, what we brag about, what we talk about, what the things that we put our pride in show what's important to you today. You know, and typically we don't commend bragging or boasting, but there's one thing that Paul does say it's okay to boast about, and you can boast about the cross of Christ. You see, boasting is how we verbalize our confidence. It's what shows us what's our confidence and what our hope is in. And see, no one can peer into your soul and see what your confidence is in. It's only by the way that you live and what you talk about that is the only way people can see where your hope lies and where your confidence lies. You see, we all boast about something at some point in time or another. And really, we boast really most of the day. So the question is, what are we boasting about? What is our confidence in? You know, we may boast about the car that we have. We may boast about the investment that we just made. Or it could be we boast in other people, you know, commending them for our hope being in them. And a lot of times we boast about ourselves. We talk about how great we're doing in life. Or maybe we did something really cool or something about our own future. And so we boast in that. It's against this backdrop that Paul kind of pushes back against. He said, no, the one thing that we boast about is only in the cross of Christ. And for Paul, this means that we are to put the cross as the source of every good thing in our lives and in this world. And so we boast in the cross for who we are in the cross. And we put zero confidence in anything else. But our full confidence and our pride is only put in the cross. And so when we read this passage, we'll see what a life looks like that boasts in the cross. So read with me Galatians 6, 11 through 18 as we end the book of Galatians. So starting in verse 11. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Verse 11 is one of the funniest passages, verses when I read it. It just makes me laugh out loud, so I'm going to try not to. But in that, I'll kind of explain what Paul is saying here. He says, "Look at what large letters I use as I write to you in my own handwriting." I mean, first time I read that, I was like, wow, Paul bragging about your own letters and your own handwriting. But he's just putting emphasis on what he's about to say. "Those who want to make a good impression in the flesh are those who would compel you to be circumcised, but only to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even the circumcised don't keep the laws themselves, and yet they want you to be circumcised in order to boast about your flesh. But as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. The world has crucified me through the cross, and I to the world. But for both circumcised and uncircumcision means nothing. What matters instead is a new creation. May peace come to all those who follow this standard, and mercy even to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, because I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." As we dig into this text, let's pray and for the Lord to show us what he's telling us. Father, we're so thankful for your word, and we're thankful that it gives life and that it penetrates our hearts and helps guide our life, Father. And Lord, I just pray that through this text that we will see what a cross-centered and cross-boasting life looks like, Father. And Lord, that we will be guided by this and that our hearts will be transformed from it. And that, Lord, that our confidence and our pride and what we brag and boast about will only be found in what Christ has done for us. And we ask this in your name. Amen. So I think there's several points here. It's kind of what a cross-boasting life looks like. And the first thing I see is a cross-boasting life is humble and it's not prideful. If you look in verses 12 and 13, Paul's addressing false teachers here. And he's saying that a false teacher is only basically out for their own agenda. They only look out for their own good. They don't really care about the good of others. And which, in other words, it's basically making them manipulators. And so they're trying to compel people to be circumcised. So they're manipulating people to think that circumcision is what needs to happen. And so they try to manipulate these people to be circumcised so that they aren't judged by the Jews and maybe even face persecution from the Jews. See, the false teachers just wanted to avoid circumcision, so they said whatever they had to say just to avoid this persecution. So they thought that if you just said, hey, you can be saved through faith by grace, but at the same time you have to observe the law and do the things of the law to be saved also, then they can kind of get around all the persecution from the Jews and so forth. But really, all they were religious show-offs. They wanted to avoid persecution, but they wanted their numbers to be good also. That's why they were compelling people to be circumcised, because the number of circumcisions that they had showed how great their ministry was. And so it was like a lot of pastors going to a pastor's conference, bragging about how many members went to their church on a Sunday morning. That it would be the exact same thing of what these false teachers were doing. They were bragging about how many people they could get to come be circumcised, and so that they could have good numbers to give off to the Jews so they wouldn't be persecuted. So this brings us to the question again that we come at the very beginning of the letter. And the question is true religion, is true faith about divine accomplishment, or is it about human achievement? Because if it's about human achievement, then brag about the person. But if it's about divine accomplishment, then we brag about Jesus. And thankfully, our salvation and our religion, our faith is not based on anything that we have done, but it's based on the cross of Jesus Christ. So since our faith is about divine accomplishment, we should never brag about ourselves, but we should only brag about Jesus and what he has done for us. So for us, the application is very clear. Either you can glory in the flesh or you glory in Christ, but you have to pick one. You know, our culture is wrapped up in boasting and bragging about something. We boast about popularity, maybe intellect, maybe the home you just bought, maybe income, job performance, just so on. But the only thing, according to Paul, that's acceptable is boasting in what Christ has done for us. And so here's the question for us. Are you puffed up? Are you prideful about the numbers that you're putting up in your life? Are you prideful? Are you boastful in what you're doing or maybe what people are saying you're doing in your life? Or are you boasting in the cross of Christ? Are you being prideful, or is the cross of Christ creating humility in your life? Because when you understand that our faith is not based on our achievement, but on what Christ has done for us, and that you have given nothing towards your salvation, there is really nothing for us to boast in, but just boasting in what Christ has done for us. So when we look at the cross, our pride bubble gets popped, and we see what Christ has done for us. So first we see that the cross-boasting life is not prideful, but yet it shows humility. And then in verse 14, we see the next point, a cross-boasting life boasts in the cross, not the self. In verse 14, it says, "But as for me, I will boast in nothing except the cross of Christ." And here Paul is using kind of an absolute language, and he's saying, there is not anything, never that I will boast in other than the cross of Christ. He's using kind of a double negative here. And to boast in, it means to glory in. It means to be consumed with. It means to be mastered by something. And what Paul is saying is that may we never glory in, make much of, be consumed with, or be mastered by anything other than the cross of Christ. That is the one thing that we should be consumed with, to be mastered by, and that we should glory in. See, boasting in the cross implies that you place your confidence in Christ and His word for your salvation. And when you boast in Christ, what Christ has done is the only reason that you can be right with God, then anything else just becomes second place to you. It becomes secondary. And this is what our hearts should cry. We should cry, because of the cross of Christ, the wrath of God will not be poured out on me. Because of the cross, I am unified with Christ. Because of the cross, I am dead to this world and all of its claims on my life. And because of the cross, I am a new creation. So we boast in the cross, we revel in the cross, and we rejoice in the cross. We boast in the cross because every good spiritual thing can only come from Jesus Christ. That anything good that really happens in our life is just a blessing that God gives us. So we boast in the cross. We don't boast in ourselves. Do you enjoy your salvation? Then we boast in the cross. Do you enjoy your adoption as an heir of one of God's children? Then boast in the cross. Do you enjoy the Spirit leading you and guiding you? Then boast in the cross. That is why we boast in the cross and not the selves, because all the benefits that we receive as a Christian are not from ourselves. It's because of what Christ did on the cross for us. But not only that, a cross-boasting life treasures Christ and not the world. And we see that kind of second part in verse 14. It says, "The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world." Paul wants us to know that in his salvation, that he died to the world and the passions of the world, and that now he has a new life that he lives in Christ. That this doesn't mean that the world no longer affects us anymore, but that our passions and our desires change, that we no longer desire what the world desires, but now we desire what God desires. Our affections have changed. Charles Spurgeon said this in one of his sermons about this passage. He said this: "What does Paul mean by this? He means that ever since he fell in love with Jesus Christ, he lost all love for the world. It seemed to him to be a poor, crucified, dying thing in whom you might see hanging in chains, and would desire to go anywhere than to rather see the poor being. The world thinks as little of Paul as Paul does of the world. The world says, 'Oh, simple Paul, he was sensible, but he has gone mad upon this stubborn notion about being the crucified, about the crucified one. The man is a fool.' So the world crucifies him, so it is with the world and the genuine Christian." So can you look at your idols, maybe money, success, human praise, whether peer approval, wanting attention, maybe it's an ungodly romance in your life. Can you say that I would not give a second to any one of these things because you treasure Christ so much? Can you say that the world has been crucified to you? Can you accept that? What it means that the world being crucified to you means that that you treasure Christ above everything else, and that living that way, you're going to be different from the rest of the world. People may say that you're foolish. Treasure Jesus and not this world. Let the cross of Christ crucify your passions for the world and what the world says that you should that you should treasure. Let the cross crucify those things that you can have new affections and you treasure new things, the things that are of God and not of this world. The cross is actually gives you the power to be able to do that. And only through the cross can we treasure Christ and not the things of this world. But not only that, the cross-boasting life values spiritual transformation and not external rituals. In verse 15, it says, "For both circumcision and uncircumcision means nothing. What matters instead is a new creation." You see, circumcision means nothing to Paul because it was just an external change for him. But what meant more to him was what happened in his heart, the internal change that happened through the cross of Christ. The cross did what the flesh could never do for us. We can't work to obtain favor with God. Only God can save us. And he's done that through the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, a new creation is what represents biblical Christianity. You may perform all sorts of rituals, but none of it matters because you have not become a new creation in Christ. It's only when you become a new creation that those things actually work for your sanctification and for your growth as a Christian. But those things before that don't work for your good. It's only after the internal change has happened that these things actually help transform your life through the work of the Spirit. So Paul doesn't care about the external rituals as much as he does about the internal change. You think a lot of people think that you come in, that Christianity is like one or two things. You either think that you can live irreligious or you can live religiously. Either that you live by a set of rules or that you're free from rules. And I believe that the gospel is a third option. It's not a bunch of rules or a primary code of ethics that you live by, which there are that within the Christian life. There's things that we want to live by because it honors and glorifies God. But being united with Christ is what marks us as a Christian. His death on the cross is what we place our hope in. It's not in external rituals, but it's in the work and death and resurrection of Christ. And so that's what our hope is in today. It's not in our ritual, but through the cross, it's the internal change that happens in our heart that matters more than external ritual. In light of what Christ has done, the old priorities and the old rituals no longer matter. And so what we want to do is that we want to value the internal change that only the Spirit can do more than what we value the external rituals. The external things will come if the heart changes. They will come. You'll desire to read your Bible. You'll desire to pray. You'll desire these things if the internal change has happened. And if it hasn't happened, you're just pushing up against the flesh, and without the Spirit's help, you'll never win that battle. And so external rituals don't change our heart, but only the Spirit can do that. And I think one of the last things we see in verses 17 and 18, the cross-boasting life seeks to please Christ and not man. In verse 17, "From now on, let no one cause me trouble, because I bear on my body the marks of Jesus Christ." And so what Paul is saying, that he will no longer allow himself to be troubled, be harassed, be bothered by the agendas of other people, especially the false teachers. Instead, he's going to live for someone else, and he's going to live for Jesus. The word scars there means is the word stigmata, which means kind of the marks made by a branding thing. This word was actually used in this time to brand slaves. And so what Paul is saying here is that he's been branded by something different than the world, that he's been branded by the cross of Jesus Christ. And that because of the way that he's lived his life, that he's been persecuted, that he's been beaten. And through the persecution and through the beating, he has marks on his body from following Jesus Christ. And those marks are his brand as a follower of Jesus Christ. Circumcision as a Jew is what branded him. And these marks from the persecution that he's received has now branded him a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, unlike the Judaizers who just try to avoid persecution and preach a different gospel, Paul was faithful to the true gospel, And he was a scarred messenger because of he was true to that gospel. But what this passage shows us is the great love that Paul had for his Savior Jesus Christ. Not only did Paul bear the spiritual marks of a believer, the fruit of the Spirit, but he also bore the actual marks, the literal scars for his obedience to Jesus. This verse in Galatians, it reflects Christ's words in Mark 8, 34 through 38. It says this, calling to the crowd to him with his disciples, Jesus said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him not deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit the man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with all of his angels, with his holy angels." So the question for us today is, are we bearing the marks of what it means to boast in Christ? I'm not saying that you're going to get beaten or that you're going to bear scars from your life. I mean, potentially some Christians do, but I'm not saying that. But does your life give marks and give a lifestyle that people see a difference in your life? If we were to look at your calendar, does it show a sacrifice for what your calendar looks like and how you scheduled your time for the cross of Christ? If we were to talk to your friends and your family and your neighbors, would they testify to seeing a suffering Savior in your life? Would they see the sacrifice that it's caused us to live for the cross of Christ? Notice the appropriate ending to this book. It says, "Brothers and sisters, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit." You know, Paul spoke of grace as a necessity. He began this book with grace, and he ends it with grace. It's all about the grace of Jesus Christ, God's unmerited favor for sinners. Christ dying for us, Christ justifying us, he redeemed us, he adopted us, the Spirit indwells us, and the church helps us. It's all a matter of grace, because we do not deserve any of those things. The grace that we have received in Jesus Christ not only changed our relationship with God, but it also changes our relationship with others. So the question for us today is that, are we living a cross-boasting life? Are we being puffed up, and are we bragging about our own self and our accomplishments in this life? Or do we brag about what Christ has done for us? And can people see those marks in your life? You know, as we end this book, the gospel is clear. The gospel is clear that our salvation is not based on anything that we do. You cannot come to church enough. You cannot do enough things. You cannot help enough old ladies cross the street. The only way that you can be saved is by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And so you may have come today and you may have thought that I'm saved through a lot of works. You know, I'm a good person, that I've done a lot of good things in my life, and that at the end I just think God will accept me in. The problem is that we're all sinners, and because we are sinners, we can't stand before God. There's not a person other than Jesus who's ever walked this earth that can stand before God on his own. We have to accept what Jesus has done for us. He was that perfect sacrifice for us. And we have to believe in what he's done. If we believe in him, then he gives us his righteousness so that we can stand before God. So the question is today is, have you believed in Christ? Have you accepted him? Have you made him Lord? Which means that he has the right 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to call the shots in your life. That there's never a point in time in your day, in your week, that Jesus doesn't have the right to call the shots in your life. Have you made him Lord? Have you believed in him? I pray that today that you'll make that decision, and that you'll believe in him, and that you will live a life that boasts about what Christ has done for you. Let me pray for us today. Father, we're so thankful for the cross of Christ. But Father, we're also sorry for the times that we boast in ourselves, and we boast in the things that you've blessed us with, and we take credit for those things. Father, I pray that you challenge our hearts today to see that, Lord, the only thing that we can boast in is in Jesus Christ. Because he's done all the things that we couldn't do. And Father, He died the death that we deserved, and He raised and defeated death, and He defeated death and sin, Father. Father, I pray that today that we are just obedient to whatever You're calling us to do, whether that's accept Jesus as Savior, or Father, whether that's to say, Lord, I've been boasting in the wrong things, and Father, I pray that I give my life today to only boast in my life to resemble what You are calling me to do, Father, and that people, when they see my life, they see the sacrifice that Jesus has made. So, Father, I just pray that we're obedient to whatever You're calling us to do. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.